Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
The book of Matthew in chapter 1, verse 18 down through around 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So we're going to get to a piece of that, but I just wanted to make a couple of points about this gift of God to the human race, whose name is Jesus. This gift, who is this gift? What does this gift mean to us? This humble carpenter would still really be the main focus of a lot of the human race 2,000 years later. You know, there's a wonderful saying, he never led an army, he never went outside the boundaries of his own country, he never traveled very far, you know, and yet 2,000 years later, you know, I see the pictures of Western Europe and the U.S. in particular, and I think of steeples wherever you look, wherever you think of one of a panoramic view of any town, you think of its steeples, because this man Jesus, this one who grew up, this baby who grew up to become the man on the cross, would save his people from their sins and would be the most influential person in human history, in all of humanity, destined to live as king forever. Amen? So I have three things. First of all, Jesus Christ is the most expensive gift you will ever receive. Jesus is the most expensive gift you'll ever, the most costly gift you'll ever receive is Jesus Christ. Best gift ever. BGE. Best gift ever. Jesus is priceless. Jesus paid for this gift of your eternal salvation with his own life. He voluntarily went to the cross. The Bible says he emptied himself and became a little lower than the angels, so that in the end he would be highly exalted above all the angels. But meantime, he spent this time down here on planet Earth and being for the most part, misunderstood. I don't know if anybody really got him. I don't know. I pray that we would get him. Yeah? So it's priceless. Jesus paid for it with his life. God called out in the garden, Adam, where are you? Because a sin that Adam committed caused him to separate himself from God, because he walked with God in the cool of the day. Now, it's funny because in Luke it talks about the multitude of heavenly hosts, the angel coming and announcing. Listen, God never comes to any place without an entourage. It's like the president coming. You know, you would see this long line of motorcycle cops and then limos and then Secret Service and in one of those cars would be the president, right? And then the whole place would be filled and there'd be people talking into their thing and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. Well, God is a royal entity. He is the creator of everything. Royalty, our concept of royalty comes from him. He's the royal one. And so whenever he arrives anywhere, he always comes with an entourage of his angels. So same for Jesus. When Jesus is born, those shepherds are out in the field keeping watch over their flocks, and the angel comes down, announces the entrance of God into this world. And there is suddenly with him the multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Right? Best gift ever. God has come to planet Earth to undo what Adam did that made us all to be kind of a mess inside, at least at times. Yeah? So Adam said, "Where are you?" Jesus on the cross says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So now a human being has been abandoned by God. The way Adam abandoned God, I'm going to tell you something. I think the eternity is going to reveal that's the most painful moment in all of the Bible. Because of the purity of God, when he and his entourage came down. Do you know that? You know you're ashamed? That's shameful. If you ever have an appointment with somebody, you know, or you're expecting someone to come over and you've cooked a big meal and, you know, you've prepared for them and they just blow you off. So God comes down with a multitude of heavenly hosts announcing his coming. And he's supposed to have a meeting with his man, Adam, who he's raising up by his own hand. And Adam is not there. So he says, "Adam, where are you?" That's a practical geographical question, but it's also existential question. Adam, where are you? Because what he did was separated himself from God. Best gift ever. You know, as a kid, I really loved receiving gifts. I don't know about you. I've never really had a problem with it anyway. By the way, anybody listening? You know, some people really have a problem receiving. Honest. I mean, they're more than happy to give, but they got a problem receiving. You know, and I'm going to tell you, if you have a problem receiving, you know, your life is not as exciting as it could be because God wants to give you stuff. And he typically does that through people. You know, God really wants to bless you. God really wants to bless you. And he typically does that through people. But if you're not connected with people, they don't have access to you. And children love receiving gifts. And listen, you're God's child. You may be the greatest among men, but compared with God, not so much. Yeah? You know, the giving and receiving of gifts is a great facet of our human time here. Whether gifts are great or small that you give or receive, it's just really wonderful. Because God is into giving gifts, right? God is into giving gifts. I found out that the Hope Diamond was insured in 2009, so that's 10 years ago, for $250 million. Your eternal life is worth more. Your eternal life, the gift that you receive from God, is worth more than the Hope Diamond. You said, "Boy, if I had the Hope Diamond, if I could afford to have the Hope Diamond, boy, I'd just be rolling in the dough and I wouldn't have any problems." Well, you wouldn't maybe not have any problems the rest of your journey here on earth, but you may have some real problems beyond. Right? Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. I know that doesn't sound very sophisticated, but it's much more sophisticated because there's a learning curve that we go through as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ that will take us the rest of our lives. You know, it's as deep as your intellect wants you to go. And if you're not that curious, well, your soul has to learn anyway. You have to be retrained in the things of God. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has opened the door for you to become a child of God. Best gift ever. Best gift ever. Nobody can earn it. We can't be good enough to deserve it. Best gift ever. Free gift. Hebrews 10:19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." See, what you don't know about yourself, what you forget about yourself, is that you have access to the very holy place of God, the very dwelling place, the innermost dwelling place of God Almighty. And that means for the things that hurt you, the things that you're in bondage to, the things that you need, the things that you want, the dreams in your heart, you don't have to just feel like, well, it's not going to work out the way I hoped, and, you know, kind of be all disappointed and all of that about life, because the truth is you have access to the holiest. You can go into God's very throne room and say, "Hey, Pop, I need this, that, or the other thing." And the Father likes it when you ask him for stuff. I want you to know, the Father likes it because it only faith will ask him for stuff. You'll tell us how much you prayed, but whether you did or not is proven through what happens in your life. Whether or not the things that you'd hope would develop will develop for you. So best gift ever, most expensive gift you will ever receive, is Jesus Christ. God sent him down to save you. You have nothing worth anything compared to Jesus. You have nothing worth anything compared to Jesus. You can lose everything, and if you still have Jesus, you'll be okay. Number two, it's the only gift you will ever receive that will last forever. The only gift that you will ever receive that will last forever. Every other gift you have, by nature of your journey here on earth, body is temporal, everything that you possess now, there's a shelf life to it. I mean, nothing lasts forever but Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Because we're really going to rock and roll when we get to eternity. Jesus says this. He says in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." That means in eternity, Jesus is still going to be there. His words that he spoke on planet earth are still going to be revered there because they are the most perfect truth there is in all the world. That's why I spend more time, probably five more times more in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, than I spend anywhere else in the Bible. Because it's the purest. It's Jesus. It's God in human form. And if you don't find something that nags your flesh a little bit, you know, you're not reading right. Or you skip over that part or something like that. No, you got to read it all. Because Jesus is tough. Okay, so it's the only gift that you ever receive that will last forever. That's why it's really important that you strive to maintain the appreciative attitude of one who's received a gift that will last forever. I'll talk about that a little more in a little bit. And number three is that it's an extremely practical gift. Best gift ever. Because of the practicality of Jesus Christ, the practical outworking of his word in your life, the changeability that he brings into your life, dumps over the tables of money changers and, you know what I mean, and has you dealing with all kinds of people that are outside of your comfort zone. Zacchaeus, come down from there, right? Somebody recently said, "I wonder if Jesus saw the prophetic in Zacchaeus being up in a tree. That somehow that connected with Jesus prophetically because he would hang on a tree." Interesting, right? I don't know. That's something to think about, right? Following God is the process of adoption and learning how to conduct our lives in Him. So an extremely practical gift. And one of the, where I'm going to kind of go here is a little bit more serious. We're going to get to this place that's a little more serious, because what happens to those of us who are saved for a long time is that we can grow weary. And the sparkle that our Christian walk had when we were young, born again, babes in Christ, those familiar ways of ours can sort of sneak back in. And 1 Corinthians 15 again, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you also are saved." Now, this is the gospel, "by which you also are saved, if you hold back that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." That's heavy, isn't it? He's saying, hold fast. Listen, because why? It's practical, and you're expected to use the gift every day. You're expected to enact. You're supposed to walk in the implements of our faith every single day. Hold fast to it. Because once you lose ground, I'm going to tell you something from experience. It's hard to make it back up. You think I can take a day off, a week off, a month off, be so pious or really walk in true godly holiness? And the truth is, when you start sliding, that's why they call it backsliding. And then you said, okay, now it's time for me to sort of come back around. It's very, very hard. Okay, following God is the process of adoption. The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Listen, I've known people who know a lot of Bible verses, but they are not led by the Spirit of God. Just because you memorize Bible verses doesn't necessarily mean you're being led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes you're being led by your own flesh. You know a lot of scriptures. You can quote them a lot. Does that make sense? Those who are led by the Spirit of God. So what do you have to do? You have to really pursue the Holy Spirit. Paul says, earnestly desire the best gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you, whether you're aware or awake to that or not. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, God lives inside of you. You are the temple of God. Whether you push him into a little side room and let him out on Sundays, or where he prefers to be in your here and now. Always. Amen? And accompanying the Spirit of God, Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What happened? God has to reprogram us. He has to teach us how to walk as his child. And so his word becomes a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's his word that guides the way for us. He reconditions us. He reprograms us so that we can walk in this wonderful glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we shouldn't only be growing in individually, but we should grow in corporately. Amen? And we're going to go through things, and we'll go through ups and downs and mountains and rivers and all that kind of thing. But I'm telling you, you have to hang on to it. It's a very practical gift. Fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. That's your birthright. That you don't walk in the conditions of the flesh, but you walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control, perseverance. Against such there is no law. Listen, you can love me. You can love one another 100% 7 days a week. It's not fattening. It won't cause cancer. It's good for what ails you. You can love your neighbor as yourself with your foot to the floor. Love Jesus and love your neighbor. Love your husband, love your wife, love your kids. Because it doesn't necessarily come naturally out of our flesh. We tend to be the hardest on the people who are our closest. Yeah? So now I want to go from that. Okay, so we got three things. Most expensive gift you ever receive. It's the only gift you'll ever receive that will last forever. And it's an extremely practical gift. It's a daily use gift. It's not a holier-than-thou gift. It's a daily use gift. And you get better at it by practice. You get better at godliness by practice. Yeah? So at the end of our reading of Matthew 1, it says, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So you have to ask, what's the number one main purpose of Jesus? And I can tell you, well, actually, I can preach you a lot of message on what was the most important thing Jesus did. But in this case, the most important thing he did, according to God, was that he will save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to save us from our sins. So don't get mad at me, because this is what Jesus came for. So we don't have to be caught eternally in these sin pits of despair that suck the life out of us. But Jesus came to save us from our sins. He bore our sins on the cross so that we can become the children of God. And that becoming literally takes work. I mean, it takes work. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then we act like it. How do we act? Like somebody who's been saved from their sins. Right? You say, well, I'm never going to be perfect. Why not? Why not? At least we could strive for it. At least we don't have to roll over and say, oh, boy. Oh, bother. The word sins there literally means missing of the mark. So it doesn't matter, we attempt goodness in our human form, even if they're saved or not saved. There's some really good people out there who really do some fantastic things, right? So, but still we have this condition that's passed down through Adam all the way down where we miss the mark. Somewhere or another, we're missing the mark. And, a lot of folks become inflated because they do good works and they're patting themselves on the back, thinking that they're better than other people. And the truth is, we're all the same amount of lost. You're either lost or you're saved. There ain't no in-betweeners. You're lost or you're saved. You have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or you don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I'm not telling you, listen, this is a mountain to climb. And you may fall off a cliff every now and then, scaling a wall. That's why I always tell you, we're called to lift one another and hold one another up when we begin to fall. Right? And that's why in the multitude of people is the honor of a king. But a lack of people is a downfall of a prince. The Bible, the proverb says. Less people on the wall to hold you up. And I'm going to go now to Ezekiel chapter 18. And I'm going to read from verse 19. And this is really important. It says, yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? These people are kind of upset because they were thinking that all of the guilt of the fathers should be passed down to the sons. And we today have a lot of that. Oh, I can't help it. I'm just like my father. Listen, the guilt of the father doesn't pass down to the son. Right? So we all have the same opportunity for freedom. We haven't got some inherited sin tendency other than what the rest of the human race has. Are you with me? Yes. Now, your dad's sin may come a little more natural to you. However, it's a deceptive thing to think that, therefore, I can't overcome it. Yeah. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I've been doing this for a long time. I know it's hard. It says, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right and has kept my statutes and observed them. He shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But, If a wicked man turns from all of his sins which he has committed and keeps my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. Jesus said to his disciples, do you believe that you'll live forever? Do you believe that he who believes in me will never die? Jesus said, will never die. If a wicked man turns from all the sins which he has committed and keeps my statutes and not does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his way and live? God is saying, my desire is for humans to get a hold of this best gift ever. Turn and live. Because Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Verse 24, but when a righteous man, now this is the part that people who have been Christians for a while have to listen to very carefully. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them, he shall die. I remember the first time I heard this preached, I was horrified. Thought I was storing up treasures in heaven. God says, nope. Not if you turn away from righteousness and turn toward wickedness. Nope. That's why Paul said, if you hold fast. Right, 1 Corinthians 15. If you hold fast. Brothers, we're going to hold fast. We're not letting go. So Luke 2, we know that the angels come and they say, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It simply means God loves you and he's offering you the best gift ever. It took him, you know, however many thousands of years to set everything, just tune everything exactly right to be able to set the stage to bring his son into humanity. And he had to have everything perfectly right. It's at the crossroads of the Greco-Roman culture so that there was a road system and this gospel could be spread to the whole world quickly. Those guys, when they went out, they were preaching everywhere. As a result, 2,000 years later, we're still preaching the same gospel.
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today, and maybe today God has shown you your need for him in your life. John chapter 8, and in verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus makes us free from our sin. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers. Start a prayer life as well and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. From there, you can also connect with us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.